Intelligent Medicine is sponsored by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, and healthy eaters get lower rates on their life insurance. Go to healthiq.com/Hoffman to support the show and see if you qualify.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin. I'm the nutritionist that works with Dr. Hoffman here at our practice in Manhattan at 330 West 58th Street. If you'd like to make an appointment with me, call our office, 212-779-1744. Again, that's 212-779-1744. And you can make an appointment with me. If you're not in the New York or tri-state area, or you otherwise can't travel to New York to see me, I have telephone consultations. I have clients all over the country. So feel free. For those of you who have questions or health topics that you'd like to hear me discuss here on this podcast, if you'd like me to weigh in on a topic of interest to you, you can email me to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. Now, you know what a fan I am of yoga. Yoga is a wonderful source of exercise. It's strength training. It helps to unblock chi, open the meridians, keep our joints supple, keep our cerebrospinal fluid flowing, keep us nimble, keep us flexible. And every time we practice it, when we get into all of those different positions, those asanas, it's an opportunity to be present. It's an opportunity to get out of our heads and into our bodies, into the present moment. As really what you would like most exercise to do, but yoga is particularly good at it. I mean, you could be on your treadmill, out for a jog, at your exercise class, and you're thinking of the thing that you want to cook for dinner tonight, or the groceries you want to pick up on your way home, or the whatever daily tasks you hadn't finished completing, what you're going to do tomorrow. But with yoga, it helps to calm your mind. There's a very wonderful centering quietude that can happen if you let it. And at the end of each yoga session is generally a few minutes of meditation. And it's just all wonderful. All those positions in yoga, warrior one and two, these are variations of lunges, of squats. When you're up in the plank position and you chaturanga down into upward dog, you're doing a push-up or a push down, and into downward facing dog, which really zones in on back muscles, arms, shoulders, all of that, and your hamstrings, helping to lengthen them. Anyway, this particular article, and this is why I was interested, and I want to tell you about it. Yoga helps ease vasomotor symptoms of menopause. Menopausal women who practice yoga may experience more relief from symptoms like night sweats and hot flashes than their peers who don't do this type of exercise, a review of existing research suggests. The study team examined data on 1,306 women in 13 different trials that randomly assigned some participants to practice yoga and others to get no treatment, that's the control group, or to try a different type of intervention such as health education or other forms of exercise. All of the women suffered from menopause symptoms at the beginning of the trials. What they found, yoga was better than no treatment at reducing total menopause symptoms, anxiety-related symptoms, hot flashes and night sweats, and vaginal dryness and pain during sex, the study found. So yoga was better than no treatment. Those who were in the control group that were not given anything to do, do nothing. So yoga was better at relieving these particular symptoms of menopause. There were already clear hints from earlier studies that yoga might be good for relieving menopause-related psychological symptoms such as mood swings, depression, sleep problems, said the lead author Holger Kramer, the research director of the Department of Internal and Integrative Medicine at the University of Duisburg-Essen in Germany. Based on the new data, yoga can effectively relieve physical symptoms such as hot flashes, fatigue, night sweats, bladder problems. And this indicates a potentially beneficial effect of yoga for all women with menopausal symptoms. Women go through menopause when they stop menstruating, which typically happens between ages 45 and 55. As the ovaries curb production of the hormones estrogen and progesterone in the years leading up to menopause and afterward, women can experience symptoms ranging from vaginal dryness to mood swings, joint pain, and insomnia. And I know from my clients, I've heard all of the above here with my clients who are menopausal, postmenopausal, even perimenopausal, which is the time right before. In the current study, yoga was better than other types of exercise for vasomotor symptoms like hot flashes, night sweats. I think the way that yoga works the body is very beneficial maybe for vagal tone. Okay. And yoga was also better for overall menopause symptoms than health education. Hey, you could read about health education, but will it make your night sweats go away? Will it relieve you of insomnia, of vaginal dryness? Probably not, because you're just reading. You're learning about health. The analysis included 4 trials from the US, 3 trials from India, 2 each from Brazil and China, and 1 each from Germany and South Korea. Now, that should dispel any notion of menopause in a cultural context. If you're looking across all these cultures and ethnicities, you know what I mean? The way menopause may be dealt with in one society as opposed to another may be very different. I mean, so many people in this country view it as some kind of a disease. And others, it's a welcome turning over a new leaf chapter in your life. But going across all these ethnicities was actually a very good idea in studying this. So the median cohort size was 54. So each of these samples had, the median size was about 54, and the range was anywhere between 30 and 355 women. The small trials ranged in length from 4 to 16 weeks, 1 to 4 months, and had women practice yoga or do other interventions anywhere from 1 to 14 times weekly. Women who did yoga in the trials tried a variety of different forms, including hatha yoga, a very physical yoga that focuses on breathing and meditation, and Iyengar yoga, which concentrates on body alignment. Iyengar, for this reason, can be, well, you could argue hatha and Iyengar, depending on where you are in your practice or in your fitness, are challenging. The variety of approaches to yoga used in the different trials made it difficult to determine what type of practice might help most with menopause symptoms, the authors say. Even so, the results offer fresh evidence of the potential for yoga to help with menopause symptoms, said Dr. James Stahl of Dartmouth-Hitchcock Medical Center and Geisel School of Medicine in Lebanon, New Hampshire. all of the mind-body tools, yoga, acupuncture, qigong, and meditation probably work through multiple mechanisms, through remodeling how the mind-body perceives sensations and signals, how the mind-body responds to those stimuli, and finally, through helping set or reset the mind-body's steady state. Because yoga is a relatively low-risk physical activity that can be easily adapted to different fitness levels, patients should consider it for symptom relief. Yoga is a relatively low impact, Do you hear that siren going by? I am in New York after all, and this is Midtown. So yoga is relatively low impact, inexpensive, can be practiced anywhere and during any time of day. For this reason, it's a great early intervention for patients to attempt. I do recommend, says one of the scientists, I do recommend someone new to yoga take classes with a well-trained instructor who can teach correct body alignment and suggest posture modifications when needed. And so yoga, and because I'm a big fan, I'm often drawn to the topic, is very, very important for our health. It's a wonderful form of exercise. It's a wonderful form of strength training. And it helps kind of reset the hurry of your everyday life, the stress of your everyday life. It can help lower cortisol and all of that. Speaking of cortisol, I want to talk to you more about sleep and five reasons that you need some more sleep. It's a goal that many people talk about, but they rarely achieve, especially given our fast-paced lifestyles, right? But the benefits to getting adequate amounts of sleep are many and critical. Studies show that sleeping for 7 to 8 hours a night can help increase mental focus, reduce stress, support a more balanced and calm state of mind. So imagine that, a good night's sleep and a yoga practice. More power to you. While there are other factors involved, such as diet and exercise, getting the right amount of sleep is an essential part of your overall health. The top five reasons, and this is nicely done by Da Vinci Laboratories that I'm reading to you from. Number one reason for getting enough sleep is memory. According to the Harvard Women's Health Watch, memory function is the number one reason to get more sleep. One study concludes sleep helps the brain commit new information to memory through a process called memory consolidation. In studies, people who'd slept after learning a task did better on tests later. Therefore, students who get enough sleep will score well on tests, and it will help them stay focused and on task throughout the day. As we age, memory loss becomes more prevalent, so it's even more important to get plenty of sleep as we get older and to create a regular sleep schedule. I'll tell you right now, 10:30 p.m. to 6:30 a.m. would be perfect. Number two reason you need more sleep, focus. This one is not on Harvard's list, but other studies have shown that getting 8 hours of sleep can help you stay focused, complete tasks more efficiently. Children and adults with ADD and ADHD should pay particular attention to the amount of sleep they get, even if they are on ADD meds. Now, going to bed 1 hour earlier can make a difference. I want to say something. If you're on ADD medication, which is the equivalent of uppers or speed, you may have a hard time getting to sleep. I've seen people with ADD or ADHD on these meds in a vicious cycle of taking the medicine, but it's keeping them up too late. But then in the morning, they're dragging and they're late to everything. Bad cycle to be on. Anyway, so for those with ADD, you may have to adjust when you're taking that medication in order for this to work so that you're getting ample amounts of sleep. Number three reason you need more sleep, your weight. The Harvard report mentioned above also concludes that the chronic lack of sleep can cause weight gain. As the amount of sleep deprivation adds up, the hormones that affect appetite can become imbalanced, which can cause unhealthy weight gain. The hormones that affect appetite they're talking about are ghrelin, the growl hormone, ghrelin. That's a good way to remember it. It's the hormone that makes us hungry and is higher in people who are night owls. And the other hormone is leptin, which tells us we are satiated. In addition, the amount of sleep we get also determines how our bodies will process and store carbohydrates. If we have a high amount of cortisol hanging out, we're in fat storage mode. So we're going to store those carbs, not really use them for energy. Getting enough sleep will help maintain a healthy weight through proper carbohydrate utilization. Now, according to another article, daylight savings time doesn't necessarily mean that you are getting another hour of sleep when the time changes. In fact, it can disrupt circadian rhythms, which means many people wake up earlier having more trouble falling asleep and are more likely to wake up during the night. This often happens. People experience jet lag when we have to reset our clocks in October and April or November and March, whatever it's been lately. I wish they would stop with that whole enterprise. Anyway, all of these factor into an unhealthy sleep pattern and sleep deprivation. Most people naturally gain weight in the winter anyway, so the time change only makes it more difficult to maintain a healthy weight. Going to bed at the same time every night and getting up at the same time will help, but keep in mind that it could take up to a week after the time change to adjust. So for those of you who travel frequently, whether for leisure or for your careers, and you're traveling often across time zones, that jet lag is super extreme, but even this bit of the 1 hour shift in either direction in fall and spring takes its toll too. And it could take up, if it takes up to a week for us to adjust to a change in daylight savings time, imagine what it takes for those of you who are traveling across time zones. I do counsel patients who have to do that to take their melatonin with them. And once they get into the new time zone, to take that at their new bedtime. That can help to reset circadian rhythms for that period of time. Number four reason you need more sleep, your mood. Absolutely, this is true. Who isn't cranky when you're running on 4 hours or less of sleep? It shows. Studies show that for many people, a lack of sleep can result in irritability, impatience, poor attitude. You've heard me talk about, I read an article years and years ago, I think it was in the Wall Street Journal, about a CEO who was kind of cranky, was getting on average about 4 hours of sleep a night. And one of his colleagues or subordinates recommended to him to get more sleep. Well, you know, all the lights are on, he's on his laptop or other electronic device, and the recommendation was to start dimming the lights when it starts getting dark outside and to really go with the amount of light outside, that we should change our internal environment to reflect that. Well, he found himself dimming the lights quite early, you know, maybe 7:30, 8 o'clock, found himself going to bed at 9:30 p.m. This person was normally going to bed no earlier than 1 a.m., going to bed at about 9, 9:30. And as a result, it was reported amongst his colleagues and subordinates that he underwent a personality change. He was no longer angry. He was no longer impatient. He was no longer having tantrums or fits of rage or reacting irrationally or overreacting, because that impatience, that irritability, it subsides when you get enough sleep. So there was an anecdote about that. Other studies have linked sleep deprivation to depression and have been shown to worsen the symptoms of certain mood disorders. Taking a supplement with a neurotransmitter, serotonin, can help with sleep patterns and depression. But you should definitely speak to your doctor about taking a synthetic serotonin. Now, I would never recommend taking serotonin. I would recommend the precursors to serotonin. That would be L-tryptophan or 5-hydroxytryptophan. And I'll tell you why. You wouldn't take necessarily both. It could be one or the other. And in my practice, in my years of practice, I have noted that some people, tryptophan is the magic bullet to boost their serotonin and to have them sleep better. For others, it's 5-HTP for their mood and their sleep. So, and taking any kind of serotonin can adversely affect other medications, especially if you're on antidepressants or any serotonin-increasing supplements such as St. John's wort. Now, let me tell you, for those of you already on an antidepressant, Prozac, Paxil, Effexor, Lexapro, any of those, you should not be taking 5-HTP or taking more tryptophan. That can increase your serotonin level to the point of having serotonin syndrome. And too much serotonin is just as bad for your mood as not enough. I'll tell you another thing. I almost never recommend St. John's wort to anyone with mood issues. The reason is St. John's wort interferes with so many medications across the spectrum that I just don't think it's a good idea anymore. The same way, you know, they don't serve grapefruit or grapefruit juice in hospitals because it slows down the detoxification of so many medications. St. John's wort also interferes with a lot of them. So I pretty much don't prescribe St. John's wort at all. The number five reason you need more sleep, the fifth reason, is safety. While it may seem obvious, it's a good reminder that if you're sleepy throughout the day, you are at risk of falling asleep at the wheel of a car. How many of you are doing a commute of an hour plus in your car every day? You really need to make sure you get enough sleep. So not getting enough sleep, you're at risk of, yes, falling asleep at the wheel of the car or while operating heavy machinery. If you normally operate heavy machinery for your work, and in other potentially dangerous situations, avoid these situations when possible, or try taking a 20-minute cat nap if you are sleepy during the day. A power nap of about 20 minutes is a wonderful thing. And again, it goes to helping your memory, because sleep helps your brain commit new information to memory with memory consolidation. A small power nap can help you with that. And lastly, it's important to note that serious sleep disorders have been linked to heart problems, hypertension, increased stress hormones like cortisol, which puts us in fat storage mode, and it raises our blood pressure, and it alters immune function, which can lead to a number of health problems. When we don't get enough sleep, it dampens our response to toxic overload, to infection. When we don't get enough sleep, our immune system is not running on all cylinders. It is suppressed. So it can be an easy solution if you let it. Sleep is really your best defense against preventing common health problems. Make it a point to get enough sleep. And I thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In, here on Intelligent Medicine.
As a health-conscious person, you're going to love our new sponsor, Health IQ. Health IQ uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, strength trainers, healthy eaters, and more. The Health IQ Advantage is their unique mortality model on the health-conscious and lower rates for health-conscious people, like a good driver savings on auto insurance. They also have unique underwriting that's tailored to the needs of the health-conscious, so things like having an adverse family history won't typically drive your rates up. You can actually qualify for up to 33% savings by doing things like taking a Health IQ quiz and scoring elite, having a membership to a qualifying association or gym for more than 1 year, and more. Health IQ believes the best way to improve the health of the world is to celebrate the health conscious rather than penalizing those who are not. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/Hoffman or mention the promo code Hoffman when you talk to a Health IQ agent. Even if you don't qualify, Health IQ will use their world-class underwriting team and shop the nation's top 30 carriers to get you the lowest retail rate in the market. So don't miss your chance to save up to 33% in your life insurance and check out healthiq.com/Hoffman to see if you qualify today.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.